praying for today because we believe God's already moving. He's going to move in our life. And I pray that you've come hungry. And I think sometimes our temptation when we come to church is maybe we show up a little bit stale. You know, this is kind of routine, or maybe we felt like we really had to be here. And I'm so glad that you're here, but I want to ask, did you come hungry? And sometimes when we come to church, we do come a little hungry. We want something from God. And I'm glad we do. We should want God to move in our life. We don't want to do this in our own strength. But I also want to ask, have you come hungry to pour out anything towards God? Have you come hungry? I mean, if we show up to worship and engage with the message, have you come to give anything back to God? Is there just what you can receive? And I'm praying you do receive. We need more of God in us and less of ourselves. I'm all about that. Okay, amen. There we go. There we go. But I also want us to give back to God because he's worthy. And so I want to ask, as we go into our sermon series, we've been going through what we call set the tone. We've been looking at different areas of our life, and do we set a biblical tone in these areas or not? And this is the last week in the series, so can I get an amen if you're ready to be done with this series? There we go. Okay, so some of y'all been here for a little bit. You're like, no, I want something new, Pastor. We've been in this series for like 5 weeks, and we have. We got one more week, though, and this message is called Living Sacrifice. Living Sacrifice. And if you want to turn to Romans 12, that's where we're going to be based out of today. Romans 12, I know I got you a sermon. Yeah, there we go. We got a title. Jan's back in the building. She didn't leave the church, everybody. Okay, we're good. Romans 12, and I want to tell you that this month in February is Missions Month. It's Missions Month, and here at Vertical, we believe that you are called to be a leader. And we may phrase that differently, like a disciple in action, a Christ follower in action, but we believe if you're going to follow Jesus, we should influence the world around us. We should show his love to the world around us, his mercy, his plans, that we should affect the world around us. We should not let the world lead us, but as followers of Jesus, we should lead the world. And so as we're called to be leaders, one of those things we should do is locally, but also globally. And that means we've got to go to the nations. I mean, that was a biblical calling Jesus gave us. Go, not just locally, but globally. And we've got people who are going to go to Peru. We've got people who are going to go to Romania. We've got people who are going to be going to Kenya. And all of them, in case you're wondering, that's not free. And God may not call you to go overseas this year. And that's okay. You're not wrong. You're not unbiblical unless you know God is calling you and you're kind of disobeying. But you may be called to help send. And so I want you to pray this month to go beyond your tithe and say, I want to give toward the missions. I want to help someone go that God's calling to go overseas, to share the good news, to go encourage local churches in these countries. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep sharing the good news with the community that God has planted you in. And so if you want to give toward that, you can go online, you can go through our app, or you can write a check in the memo and just put missions, and that will go help send people who need the financial help to go on these missions trips. So just be praying through that. So let's jump into living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. And Romans 12, verse 1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And there's a couple things that really jump out to me as we read that text. And the first is it says, because of all he's done for you. Did that stick out to any of you guys? It says, I plead with you, go be a living and holy sacrifice because of what God has done for you. And I think if you're newer to Vertical, I'm a huge believer. We're a church that believes you should read the Bible in its whole context, Genesis to Revelation. And Romans 12 is one verse that's almost beckoning to pull in the context of every other scripture. He says, in all that God has done for you, be a living sacrifice. But you want to know something? I think this is a hard verse for humanity. And the reason I think this is a hard verse for humanity, because I think as humans, we're tempted to find what's called the minimal acceptable level. And maybe you've worked with people like this. Maybe you've seen it on a sports team. Maybe you've seen it just in the world. Or maybe you are even tempted personally to find the minimal acceptable level. And I think we do this in our own faith with Jesus. I think as we've gone through this whole series, hopefully it's challenged us in different areas of our life that maybe our human condition and tendency and sinful nature has pushed us to try to find what is the minimal acceptable level when it comes to our finances. What's the minimal acceptable level when it comes to how we treat people? What's the minimal acceptable level when it comes to the words we use? But the Bible here in Romans 12 says there's no such thing as minimal acceptable level. Paul says, I plead with you to be a living sacrifice. I think those words, especially in our American culture, can be really tough because that's not really how we want to go. I mean, in honesty, our culture calls us to be a living sacrifice, but it's not what Paul's calling us to. Our culture, especially in America, tells us be a living sacrifice to your emotions, to your desires, to your wants. Be a living sacrifice to those things, but not to Jesus. But Paul says, I plead with you in light of all that God has done, be a living sacrifice to the ways of God. To the ways of God. And despite what your human condition may tell you, and I think in this series, hopefully we've acknowledged, we've come to grips that you're not out there as the crazy Christian or Christ follower if there's parts of you that don't want to obey God. That's called being a human. That's being human. There's not something, quote, broken or wrong. You've not followed Jesus wrong. If there's a part of you that doesn't want to submit to Jesus, the Bible tells us that's going to happen, that those things are real. And once we acknowledge that they're real, then we can crucify those. Then we can die to those things. We can make sure they don't control us. But if we pretend they don't exist, then they can sneakily guide our life. But he says, because of all he's done for you, and I was reading that, and what really I felt led to come to mind on that was Matthew 27. And you don't have to turn to Matthew 27. You can write it down in your notes if you want. But when he says, because of all he's done for you, and I plead with you to be a living sacrifice, I want us to read Matthew 27. Matthew 27, starting in verse 35, says, after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law and the elders also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. I always think about these verses because humanity looked at Jesus on the cross and they told him what honestly our flesh tries to tell us every time when we're called to be a living sacrifice. Humanity told Jesus, come off the cross, save yourself. And we believe Jesus was fully human and fully God. I promise you, as Jesus was on the cross in physical pain, there was a part of him that wanted to come off the cross. There was the human condition that's in pain that wanted to come off the cross. But Jesus knows. I can imagine Jesus looking at these people who are mocking him and saying, if you're really who you say you are, come off the cross. The physical pain, of course, Jesus in. But what about the pain in his soul as he looks at the people he's dying to save who say, come off the cross? And Jesus looks at him in his soul and knows, I can't come off the cross because then you have no hope. And so they mock him. And Jesus is this sacrifice in this moment for your sin and my sin. And when Paul says, I plead with you, be a living sacrifice in light of all that God has done, he's talking even about Matthew 27, that Jesus would die on the cross for you and I, out of love for God. And when he pleads with us, be a living sacrifice, that's what he's talking about. In all honesty, after we read Matthew 27 and our human tendency is to find a minimal acceptable level, it gets a little embarrassing, right? When you and I say, I don't really know if I want to do what God's really calling me to do, because it's hard and it's difficult. And Paul would say, of course it is, but I plead with you in light of Matthew 27. When you and I want to find a minimal acceptable level to follow Jesus, Paul says, that's not of God. That's of your flesh. And as you come in today, whether you're online or you're in Hiawassee, you're here with us right now, is there a part of you that's been trying to hold on to something and saying, I will keep this, but I'll give God something else? We try to bargain with God. God, I'll do this as long as I can have this over here. But Paul says, I plead with you, don't do that. Paul says, I plead with you, don't do that. He says, offer your entire life as a sacrifice to the Lord. But a lot of us, we don't like that. Because in our American tendency, when we start talking about being a sacrifice, what do we always think of? What do I got to give up? Right? I mean, that's inherently what we kind of think of. What do I got to give up? What am I going to lose? That's some of the language that can come into our mind. I'm going to lose something. I got to give something up. But what if in the kingdom of heaven is the complete opposite? What if the kingdom of heaven is the complete opposite? The kingdom of heaven mindset is, what do I give out when I sacrifice? What do I give out when I sacrifice? Jesus on the cross could have come down, but then he wouldn't have given out hope, an opportunity for forgiveness of sins. See, in the kingdom of heaven, when we sacrifice, we're really giving out, but our human tendency really just focuses on, what am I going to lose? Because it's really about me. When we are called to sacrifice, our me nature gets exposed. But see, Jesus left no doubt on where he placed his value. Jesus left no doubt on where he placed his value. When he was on the cross and everybody else says, you should come down to prove yourself, he's saying, no, I'm going to leave no doubt where I place my value, and it's what God has called me to. But when you and I try to find a minimal acceptable value, then things get muddied, because then people really don't know where our value is placed. They don't really know what we value, because we kind of start to blend in with the world around us when we find minimal acceptable levels of Christianity. And it's a complete farce. It's not real. It doesn't exist. It's either living sacrifice or not. And I want to ask, are you holding on to something right now that's keeping you from being the living sacrifice that God has called you to be? Because Jesus left no doubt. When Jesus hung on the cross, people were not confused about where he placed his value. When Jesus rose from the dead, people were not confused about where he placed his value. Jesus left no doubt. But do you and I blend in with the world around us? Do we blend in with the world around us? I want to look at Romans 12, 2, because I think this is where Paul's going with this in context. Romans 12, 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the ways you think. And then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Which is good and pleasing and perfect. I think most of us would sign up for any kind of plan for our life that we'd say is good, is pleasing, is perfect. We're like, I'll take that. That sounds real good. But in context, it also brings in Romans 12, 1, which says, in order for that to happen, we have to become a living sacrifice. And then you start to wonder, okay, if I'm actually giving up, to use our American mentality there, if I'm giving up to be a sacrifice, am I actually receiving? And Romans 12, 1 and 2 working together say, absolutely. Absolutely, because when you become a living sacrifice for God, you're actually going to encounter a good and pleasing and perfect will for your life. But the reality is there's always parts of us as humans that want to sacrifice to our emotions, to our desires, to our wants. And those are not inherently bad things. Emotions are inherently not a bad thing. They're God-given. Actually, wanting to do things is not inherently a bad thing, but when they don't align with the ways of God, that can get us in trouble. What becomes a problem is when our society tells you, you should sacrifice to your emotions, wants, and desires. Because here's what they're not going to tell you with that mentality. What the world is not going to tell you, they're going to make it sound super good. They're going to make it sound super convincing. Any good, slick, talking person is going to be able to convince you that actually doing whatever your emotions or wants or desires is actually a good thing. What they're not going to tell you is the disclaimer. And the disclaimer is, when you do that, you're sacrificing to yourself, and you proclaim, I am God. When you sacrifice and just do whatever your emotions or desires or wants tell us, you sacrifice to yourself, inherently saying, I am God. And that's not what Romans 12, 1 through 2 is telling us. It says, but we can be transformed. But it also says, don't copy the custom and behaviors of this world. And when we try to find a minimal acceptable level of following Jesus and we blend in with the world, we're doing the opposite of Romans 12, 1 through 2. And it says, don't copy the customs and behaviors of this world. The reason some of us don't want to be a living sacrifice is because we may stick out like a sore thumb. And that's tough. It's tough to be different in this world especially. But Paul says, I plead with you in light of Matthew 27, give yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Give yourself to a living sacrifice before the Lord. Do the things he's calling us to. Don't sacrifice to your emotions, desires, and wants. Do not go proclaim, I am God. I do things my own way, and I look out for myself. Galatians 2:20, if you just want to write it in your notes, you don't have to jump over there. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. Again, Paul's beckoning back to the reality that some of us have this human nature. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, beckoning back to Matthew 27. Paul's trying to tell us, some of us may become convicted of what we're holding on to and how we're not being a living sacrifice, but what Paul's trying to tell you is what you don't want to do in this moment and go, oh my gosh, I've messed up, I've done wrong. I'm going to try to go in my own strength, renew my mind. I'm going to try to in my own strength to live for Jesus. Paul says, you can't do it that way. It doesn't work. In order to become a living sacrifice, you've got to go, God, live in and through me. The Lord, I need you to change me. We can't do it in our own strength. I don't know about you, that's hard for me to accept sometimes. I'm like, man, I've messed up, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix it. And really the problem with that whole equation is it's just a lot of me. I messed up, so I'm going to fix it. The problem with humanity is when the equation doesn't involve God. But that's our tendency right now, if you're anything like me, is, oh my gosh, I messed up. I'm so sorry, God. I'm going to fix it on my own. And God says, you can't fix it on your own. That's why Matthew 27 exists. That's why Romans 12 exists. That's why Galatians 2 exists. I'm trying to tell you, humanity, you can't do this on your own. And I love you enough to not make you do it on your own because it doesn't work. Are you holding on to something today that's causing you to live a life where you actually leave doubt if Jesus really is of the greatest value? If people, if they watch you on social media, are they really sure that you leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value? The way you treat your spouse, are they really sure that you leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value in your life? The way you interact with people at work, are they really sure that you leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value? The way we handle our money, do we leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value? The way we talk to people, do we leave no doubt Jesus is of the greatest value? Because when we find the minimal acceptable level, you and I will always blend in with the world. But when we become a living sacrifice, people will understand Jesus is of the greatest value in our life. Jesus is of the greatest value. But I think, honestly, one of the questions we should ask, if we're reading these texts and we're going through this, I think one of the questions we should ask is, why is it sometimes really hard to do this? I think that's a fair question, right, Lily? I mean, is that a fair question to ask? Why is this so hard? You know, Maddie, you with me? Our youth, you with me? Xander, you with me, brother? Why is this so hard to do, to die to ourselves? Why is that hard? Thank goodness Paul wrote a third verse to Romans 12. Romans 12 doesn't end with two verses. Paul wrote a third verse. And I don't know that we've ever really talked about it this way, but Romans 12:3 says, because of the privilege and authority God's given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Here's what Paul's saying of why it's so hard to get away from being led by our emotions, our desires, and our wants, and being a living sacrifice to Jesus with our life. Paul says the reason that's so hard is, why would I ever sacrifice something as good as myself? Why would I ever sacrifice something as good as myself? Paul in Romans 12:3 tells us why it's so hard to live out Romans 12:1 and 2. Is because if we let pride sneak into our life and we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, he doesn't say you should think very lowly of yourself. He says you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. When that happens, we will never sacrifice something as good as ourselves. We may sacrifice somebody else. May sacrifice someone that cuts us off on the road. May sacrifice somebody who doesn't pull for our sports team. May sacrifice somebody that doesn't do what we're wanting them to do. But when it comes to sacrificing ourselves, I'm pretty good. There's got to be another option. And then we go back to Matthew 27. And Jesus hangs on a cross. We're told he was perfect. And he was willing to lay his life down to what God called him to do. And Paul says, I plead with you in light of that, in light of Jesus, offer your life as a living sacrifice. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to, because you'll inherently always end up going, why should I sacrifice something as good as myself if pride gets in there? We put a wristband on the seats. You may have noticed that when you came in. If you didn't, you're like, why is this seat so uncomfortable? It's because you're sitting on a wristband. Yeah. Like, whoa, my gosh. So you may have put on the wristband. You may have been handed the wristband as you walked in. You may be wearing it. You may not be wearing it. But I want to talk to us about a moment. And in the light of setting the tone with our life. Because I think the biblical calling for us to set the tone is to leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. When people look at our life, they should have no doubt that we want to be a living sacrifice for Jesus. It shouldn't be a question. People shouldn't have to come home and write a pros and cons list. They shouldn't have to hire Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. When they look at the way we live our life, they go, that person is crazy. They really think Jesus is who he says he is. The way they treat people, they really think Jesus is who he says he is. That's crazy. The way they handle their finances and they're willing to give and send people over to Kenya to talk about Jesus, that's crazy. They really think Jesus is who he says he is. We should leave no doubt. And the reason we had wristbands made is one, I think you and I should make a commitment today. We should ponder making a commitment. I'm not going to try to force you into it. If you've been at this church long enough, I have no interest in forcing you to do anything. I think Jesus always invited people to do stuff. Jesus didn't kidnap anybody in the kingdom. He wasn't behind his disciples with a whip trying to drive them along. It was, come follow me. And some people said no. And Jesus went on to the next town. But I think some of us need to make a decision. Are we holding on to anything today that's keeping me from living a life that says, Jesus, you are of the greatest value? And I think we've got to decide, are we people who in this moment in history, and I believe you and I are here in this moment in history, and it's not unintentional. This is our moment. This is our moment in a world that increasingly is telling us, sacrifice to yourself, make yourself God. Increasingly, we should be people who leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. And I think first and foremost, you need to decide if you're willing to make a commitment to God today, Lord, I want to live a life where I leave no doubt that you are of the greatest value. I want to leave behind, if it's sin that's holding me back, I want to leave that behind. If it's the way I treat other people, or I've just been someone who finds a minimal acceptable level of Christianity, I want to leave that behind, and I want to leave no doubt, Lord, that you're of the greatest value. But the second thing is, if you're willing to put that wristband on and wear it, what it's going to communicate to other people who wear that wristband is, hold me accountable as a brother and sister in Christ. If you see the way I treat somebody is not leaving no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value, come talk to me in love. Come say, hey, that's not living sacrifice mentality. I love you enough to tell you that doesn't line up with what the Bible calls us to. I think we should pray through that. I think we should hold each other accountable out of love. Because guess what? When you live a lifestyle that leaves no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value, that's hard. But also, wouldn't it be comforting to see once in a while you see somebody wearing this and go, I'm not doing it on my own. I'm not doing it on my own. There's somebody else out there who's facing some of these real things that they also get up every morning and parts of them tell them, don't submit to Jesus. Don't go live a life today that's a living sacrifice, but they're going to make a choice today that they're going to die to their self and let Christ live through them. It'd be encouraging to know somebody else out there has made that decision, that I'm not alone in this. And so that's the thing is, I'm going to encourage you. You need to pray through that today. Because if I see you wearing that wristband with me, I promise you, I'm going to encourage you, but I'll hold you accountable too. And if you put on that wristband, you do the same for me. I can tell you, if you spend enough time with me, I ain't perfect. I got my wife on the front row who I'm not making eye contact with. You know what I mean? Love you, babes. But I think this is our moment in history. And we can either be people who try to blend in with the world around us and not try to stick out, or we can go, I think genuinely Jesus loves the people around me and cares about them. I genuinely think Jesus has a plan for people that's good and pleasing and perfect, but in order for us to really experience it, it's going to require living sacrifice lifestyle. And I want them to have an opportunity for that. I want to live a lifestyle where people feel like they could actually approach me and realize I actually care about them. I may not have answers to their problems, but I care. I think it's one of the things that's plaguing our society is we've lost the ability to listen. Somehow in our society, it's gotten mixed up that if I'm willing to listen to you, it means I agree with you. But that's not the case at all. Listening means you care. It doesn't mean you agree. And we've lost that in our society, an inability to listen. But I want people to pray through today. Are you willing to make a decision today that I want to be someone who leaves no doubt? I want to leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. And I don't think you should take it lightly. You may want to go home and pray through that. You may want to go home and fast and go through that. You may want to really think through that, because when you put this on, I promise you, that's making a commitment before the Lord. It shouldn't be done lightly. Being a living sacrifice wasn't an opportunity that came lightly in light of Matthew 27. As we close out today, we're going to just do a little, just something differently. I just had this put on my heart this week. And I just felt led by the Lord that if today's the day where you knew you're holding on to something, that God's been speaking to you and he's been saying, you've got to let that go. You've got to let it go and stop trying to control that and just let me live through you. If today's the day where you know you've been maybe seeking the minimal acceptable level and God's calling you to become a living sacrifice, if God's calling you to leave no doubt, if that's you today, I want to pray with you, because I don't think you should make a commitment like that as part of the body of Christ on your own. I think people should love you enough to support you, to encourage you, to stand with you. And so that's the thing. If God's been calling you, today's your day. It's time for you to leave some stuff behind and become a living sacrifice. I'm going to ask you to stand because I'm going to pray for you. If you know that's what God's calling you today, and if you're in Hiawassee, stand up. If you're online, stand up. But if that's what God's calling you today, I'm going to ask for you just to stand because I want to pray for you, because that's a big deal. And I don't want you to do that on your own. And if you're sitting down, it doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're in sin. My goodness, can we just not have that mentality in church? You're not wrong if you're sitting down. You may have made this decision last week. You may have made this decision 3 years ago. You may have made the decision 20 years ago. Praise God. And what I want to ask, if you're still sitting down, will you please look at someone around you and go, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them that God will strengthen them, encourage them. God will bless them. God will lead them. If you're sitting down, will you please pick someone around you who's making a decision right now before God, and will you pray with them? Will you encourage them? Lord, as we close out right now in the name of Jesus, you're leading, you're guiding. Because Jesus, we want to submit to you. We want to be a living sacrifice for you. And God, we come before and we acknowledge that's not easy at all. That's so hard, God. And actually, to be honest with you, Jesus, I think there's no hope apart from you to do it. And so, Jesus, I ask that you will come and lead the people who are standing up and saying, God, there's been something that's been holding me back from being truly a living sacrifice. Holy Spirit, will you please move in and through them? Give them the strength and courage to step into the things you are calling them. Give them the strength and courage to leave things behind. Give them the strength and courage to step in, to leave. No doubt that you are of the greatest value, Jesus, because this is our moment. This is our moment in history. There's no do-overs. There's no take-backs. This is our moment that you have given us the opportunity to leave no doubt that, Jesus, you are of the greatest value. Lord, help the people standing. Or maybe they couldn't physically stand. Maybe they're raising their hand, or maybe they're driving, listening to the message. Maybe they're staying. God, I want that. Holy Spirit, please help us to not submit to our fleshly desires. But by the power of God, may we lay our lives down and say, Jesus, live in and through me. Bring honor and glory to your name, Jesus, through me. Holy Spirit, give them the boldness and courage and faithfulness to live these lives that leave no doubt that, Jesus, you are of the greatest value. In your name we pray. Amen. As we close out in this time of worship, you can stand up, you can stay seated, you may hit your knees and pray. But this time, can we think about Matthew 27 and what Jesus has done? He's paved the way. He was the first living sacrifice to set the tone for you and I. As we close out this service, can we worship Jesus because of who he is and what he's done in our life? And can we go leave no doubt that he's changing our life? I love you guys. May the Lord work in and through us in this day and age that Jesus is worth everything.